Viewing your role as a substitute for Jesus should help you when deciding what to preach. That's the key sentence for this edition of the SermonCoach.com podcast. Welcome. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, do you ever have problems deciding what it is you should preach in a given setting?
I think people would be surprised to realize how agonizing that is for a person to go and speak. Now, if it's just a matter of me going and saying, okay, I'll preach old number seven, that's fine. But I try to think, okay, I'm coming, and in a sense, I'm trying to represent what Jesus would say. I'm a substitute for him. I'm an ambassador for Christ. So what would Jesus say in this setting? If I know the church, then it's relatively easy for me to figure that out. I may not be dead on target, but at the same time, I'm not going in this direction when Jesus would be going in an opposite direction. I'm at least within the same frame of reference that Jesus is. Sometimes it's quite easy to be able to respond because, say, you got a pastor calls and he says, it's my 25th anniversary and I couldn't think of anybody else I'd rather have come than you and fill my pulpit for that day. I will be there. And could you come? And you say yes. And then once you've said yes, you have to then say, what would Jesus say if he were there? You know, he knows this person, he knows the ministry. What would Jesus' words be? And how do I say those words on behalf of Jesus? But that's a much easier role to fill if you know. I mean, if you didn't know it was the 25th anniversary, you'd be inappropriate if you went. So you try to find out as much as you can about the setting. There are times when I'm asked to speak far away from home and I know almost nothing about the church. And I do those less and less just because it's very hard. You're coming in and you're not sure you're being appropriate. Trying to represent Jesus and his timely word for that congregation. It costs them a amount of money for you to fly in and to be able to be there for the day and such, and you don't want to just go there and give them old number four. That's not satisfying to me anymore. I want to use my time as effectively as possible and say the words I think Jesus would say. Am I right, dead on target always? Obviously, I'm not. Sometimes I am. Obviously, I'm a human being like anybody else, and it's an awesome thing to try to be a spokesperson on behalf of God. I mean, that it's kind of presumptuous for any human being to do that, and yet that's what you're called to do. So it's tough. It's much easier if you are the pastor, I think, in a given situation because you know the congregation much better.
So let me ask you this question. Instead of being a guest speaker coming in, let's say you're a local pastor. It's your third year of preaching at this church. You're between major series and you have three Sundays to fill. None of them are holidays. What help can you offer regarding choosing a topic?
There are a lot of holidays through the year. You couldn't give me one of those holiday times?
Nope.
None of them are. I would probably do three sermons on the same topic. That would probably be what I would do. I think what is important is to get as much information as possible from talking to congregation and saying, okay, where are we? Every time I'm with people, I'm writing notes and I'm saying, you know, what would be a helpful series or what would be a helpful sermon for you if I preached on a given topic? Can you tell me? That's hard for people to say, but you get it. And I keep a running total of what those are. Not a total, but a list is what I'm trying to say. I have some kind of an idea. And then also in my own prayer time, a lot of times it's as though you sense when you're talking with the Lord, he's saying to you, obviously, I'm careful how I voice that because he doesn't talk out loud again. This would be helpful to so-and-so. I need to preach more because I'm preaching to my age so much. I need to preach more to the millennials who are there. I don't think I'm communicating with them. I often think a lot of the illustrations I'm using are they're too heavy for the young kids who are now starting to come into the service because they're getting into middle grade school age. What could I say that would capture them? You know, so I'm doing that all the time. I'm thinking those kind of thoughts in my mind. What is my audience? What do they need to hear? Then there's another question that I asked Dean, and it's going back to what I said before. What would Jesus say to these people? What is appropriate for Jesus to say, and how do I tap into that so that I can represent him to the best of my ability? I probably would say that was a dumb wish. I wish Jesus would say out loud what he once preached. And then I realize if he said out loud, probably I wouldn't preach some of the things because I may not be that bold. You know, Jesus was quite bold and quite forthright in what he said. So Jesus, you know, give me a list and then I'll choose the one I want to preach out of that. Jesus doesn't talk out loud. Jesus does sometimes make very obvious what he would speak to. And that helps. I think every minister has strong areas and then areas where he's not as good. And he has to cover those either by struggling or otherwise getting somebody else to come in and do it. And so maybe in three Sundays, I could figure out, well, I haven't been as encouraging to my people as I should be, so I need to preach three sermons on encouragement, and just say, you are one incredibly good congregation. I'm amazed at how you love the Lord, that kind of thing. I don't know, what would you say? How do you figure out what Jesus would preach?
Well, the first thing that would come to my mind is I would refresh myself with the sermons of Jesus. I would look at, for example, the passage in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Mm-hmm. Jesus actually covered a significant number of topics in those three chapters. You could look at any of the other passages of the Gospels where Jesus was preaching. You could look at his messages to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. There are messages there for different types of churches. Because as pastor, you know your congregation, or at least my prayer and my hope for pastors would be that they would really know the needs of their corporate body, not just the individual needs of the people, but what is the corporate need that the body has, usually because it's influenced as a sum total of all of the needs of the individual members of the congregation. Mm-hmm. But based on that, and then based upon my review of the kinds of things Jesus preached about, which of those mesh together, and that's probably what I would choose to preach on.
Yeah, I think sometimes there are events that happen that are within the whole of the community. Recently, there was this shooting in a church that, I mean, you're not going to just totally ignore what goes on. You have something that you say, the Lord has a word for us at this time, that kind of thing. That happens, and you just are sensitive to it. I think there are times even, not usually, but there are times when you have a certain message and then you know because of events that happen, that's not the right message for this Sunday, because Jesus would not talk on that. He would talk on this because of what's happened within the community.
Are we really willing to live the way Jesus wants us to live?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those things that a minister struggles with, but at the same time, there is that great sense of peace when you say, I think, Jesus, I spoke exactly what you would have spoken. I didn't do it as well as you would, but as your substitute, you're not expected to do it as well as the first team. But I did my very best. I didn't speak my message. I think I spoke your message. There's a great sense of satisfaction that comes from that. I feel for ministers because ministers have their strong side and ministers have their weak side. It's hard sometimes not to just keep playing your strong side. You're great at challenging people, but you're not good at comforting people. You know, so sometimes what you do, you just talk to your good people. You say, what kind of a message do you need to hear? And I think, again, in some situations, you know, people would say, if you challenge me one more time, I think, you know, you keep raising the bar all the time. And that last leap, I thought, I'll never make the next half inch. You just stop and just lower it a while and just comfort me for a while. That would be good. The people will know if you have a situation where they say, I don't know, you know, I have no idea. You always do very well. That may be a compliment to some people, but it's not in my mind because you're a team together. You're trying to feel where you're going. I would say that most ministers, if we asked them this question, they would have good answers and they would say, this is how I find what God's message is. And again, finding that message from Jesus and speaking on his behalf is very satisfying. I don't know how I feel it happens, but it happens on a regular basis and I'm very grateful. Jesus answers my prayer, you know.
Generally speaking, do you think pastors in the U.S. are tuned in to what Jesus once preached in the churches of America today?
Wow, so we're outside of the congregation into the whole country. You know what, Dean, I can only give my opinion. Generally speaking, I think one of the messages Jesus would give to the congregations across North America would be to say, it's very easy to flow with where the culture is going, and the culture is saying, if you're a Christian, keep your mouth shut. Acquiesce to what is going on. And I think Jesus would say, this is a day to be bold. This is a day to take a stand. This is a day to say, I don't compromise. I'm not just talking about issues, but I'm saying this is a day for me to be open in terms of who I am so that people know my primary allegiance is to Jesus. It's not a day for me to be quiet about that. And I think it's a day for me to say, I am not with where the culture is. I am different. I have a different leader I'm following. I don't have to be strident about it, but I want you to know that's where I am. And that will only be helpful for even more difficult days that are going to come. If you are somebody who keeps hidden what you believe, you're out of stride with where Jesus is is going. That's kind of, I think, where Jesus is. And part of the reason I think that is because he's saying that to my heart. This is a day, David, for you to take a stand. This is a day for you to be more open. This is a day for you to say, I am unreservedly Christian. I don't want that to be a strident word, but I'm not going to apologize for what has happened in my life. Jesus has changed me, and I'm a different person because of Jesus, and the world is better off because I follow Jesus. But don't tell me that that has to become muted in my life. I want that to be outspoken. That's kind of, I think, what Jesus is saying to my heart, and it may be that's a message that he's saying to a number of people. I don't know. That's one of the messages that I'm hearing anyway, and I think a message needs to be. It's kind of like preaching Daniel. You can feed the other guys the rich food, but my conviction says, no, I am not going to do that. So it's the dare to be the Daniel type of message that I think is a good message for this day for the church.
And a significant challenge in that is to be bold and loving at the same time, which Jesus had that perfect balance.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. And it's such a struggle for us to try to achieve that on our own. That's why we need to rely on the Holy Spirit to help us, because he's the one that can help us be balanced in our lives, where we are bold in our testimony and in our witness for Jesus. And at the same time, we love people the way Jesus loved them.
Yeah. That's a great balance. Yeah, I agree.
Viewing your role as a substitute for Jesus should help you when deciding what to preach. We're so glad you joined us for this SermonCoach.com podcast. You found it on our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to visit our website and take full use of the many resources we have there for you. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.